All right, good evening. Tonight's shiur is being dedicated Lili Nishmas Gershon Shlomo Ben Avraham to Hei Nishmaso Tzrura B'Tzror HaChayim. This Shabbos is Parshas Koyrach and also Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Many times it falls out that way, which indicates that Koyrach and Tammuz are related. We always read Parshas Koyrach as we enter, or in this case, on the actual day of Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. What's the connection between Koyrach and Tammuz? Koyrach is a very mystical, very difficult parsha to understand al pi pshat. Very hard to understand, literally, how Koyrach, who was a tzaddik, who was a man of very great stature, who was even older than Moshe Rabbeinu, he was from those who carried the Arayin. We see he had Ruach HaKodesh. While he was disputing Moshe Rabbeinu, it says he saw in the future, he saw Shmuel Hanavi coming out of him. And that's why he thought that he would be the victor here. So definitely we're dealing with a very, very great person. It's Yadua, what the Yet of Leif said over in the name of his grandfather, the Yismach Moshe. But the Yismach Moshe remembers that he was a neshama living at that time. He was a Gilgal of someone who lived at the time of the Machloikas of Koyrach and Moshe Rabbeinu. And when his grandson asked him, "So what did you think?" His answer was, "I didn't know. We didn't know who was right." So it's not like as if it was so clear. Koyrach was definitely a very great person. And it's very hard to understand al pi pshat what's going on here. And that's why many explain the first Rashi here, which unusual, very unusual that Rashi should begin a parsha this way. In fact, he doesn't begin any parsha this way. He starts off, Parsha zu yofe nidreshes b'midrash Rabbi Tanchuma. What's the point? Rashi says, this parsha is beautifully explained, it's beautifully expounded in the Medrash Rabbi Tanchuma. So therefore, I mean, every parsha is beautifully explained in the Medrash Rabbi Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma is a medrash on the entire Torah. Is it only beautifully explained here and not somewhere else? What exactly does Rashi mean? Why does he have to give this introduction? There are different interpretations to what Rashi is coming to say. Some say Rashi is medayek, parsha zu yofe nidreshes, that this parsha can only be explained al pi drush, not al pi pshat. There's no pshat to Parshas Koyrach. It's very difficult to understand on the surface what's going on here. Although we do have to try to learn al pi pshat, Rashi himself discusses the pshat here. But there's also a deeper understanding of the machlekes of Koyrach and Moshe Rabbeinu, also based on this Rashi, Parshas Zu Yofen Edreshes. The amount of psukim in this parsha is 95. There are 95 psukim in Parshas Koyrach. And the word to remember how many psukim this parsha has is Daniel. Daniel is the simon. What does Daniel have to do with Koyrach? Obviously, if Daniel was chosen to be the word to remember how many psukim Parshas Koyrach has, then Daniel has something to do with Koyrach. What exactly is it? The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, and those who have completed Daf Yomi recently should remember it, in Perek Chelek, when it talks about Koyrach, it says that Rabba Bar Barchana found the place in the desert where those who were swallowed up, where it was located. And you see there a split in the ground with smoke coming out, and it said that if Rabba Bar Barchana took the people who he showed it to, and he says you could hear every month Koyrach and his family and his entourage, those who were swallowed, crying out, Moshe emes v'sayrosay emes v'onu badoye. Moshe is true, the Torah is true, and we are the falsifiers. And when does this occur, says the Gemara? Every Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, Koyrach does tshuva, sort of, but you know, in Gehenim, he cries out with those who are with him, Moshe emes v'sayrosay emes. So the question is, why is it every Rosh Chodesh? What does Rosh Chodesh have to do with the tikkun of Koyrach, and the fact that Koyrach cries out Moshe emes v'tayrosay emes every Rosh Chodesh tells us that there is something about Rosh Chodesh, and this year especially that the parsha falls out, Shabbos is on Rosh Chodesh itself, between Rosh Chodesh and the tikkun of Koyrach. What exactly is it? We also find that Koyrach gathered 250 Nesi'ei Eda Kri'ei Moyed Anshei Shem. These were no simpletons. These were Roshei Sanhedrois, Roshei Ayeshiva. The Gedolei Hador were with Korach. They were not with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gedolei Hador were with Korach, clearly. And who was the head, together with Korach, Elitzur ben Shedeur, who was the Nasi of Shevet Reuven? We find that Korach joined together with Shevet Reuven. From all the Shvatim, it's Korach and the Levim and Shevet Reuven. What is it about Reuven? Why did Reuven join Korach? There are many, many other details, many other questions, and perhaps they'll be explained as we go along. It's obviously a very, very difficult parsha to understand, and in one shir it really can't be explained, but in the little time we have, we'll try to go through some of that which is explained in the Sfarim. Tammuz, the month that we're about to begin, which starts this Shabbos Sunday, Tammuz is a very difficult month. Tammuz also, al pi pshat, on the surface, Tammuz fell. Tammuz experiences a yerida, because the chatoyim, the main chatoyim in Chumash, took place in Chodesh Tammuz. Chet ha'egel and Chet ha'meraglim. The Chet ha'egel was Tezayin Tammuz. And the Chet ha'meraglim, although their actual Chet was when they came back, and they came back on the 8th of Av, but their journey took place during the month of Tammuz. Tammuz is the month in which the Luchais were broken. Tammuz is the month in which the wall around Yerushalayim was cracked open. Hufka'a ha'ir, vatiboka ha'ir. Yerushalayim was open now for the public. Yerushalayim was now open for the enemies to attack. And this happens in Tammuz, the same month in which we lost the Luchais HaRishonais, which the Gemara says that if not for the fact that the Luchais were broken, Torah would not have been forgotten. Rav Nachman Breslover brings down in the Kutim Maharan, he says, Tammuz is Rosh HaTevah, Zichru Toiras Moshe, without the Vav. Tammuz without a Vav is Zichru Toiras Moshe. He also says Tammuz stands for Zman Matan Toiraseinu, because Tammuz was supposed to be Matan Torah. Tammuz, had we received the Luchais on Shavuos B'Tammuz, then the Matan Torah would have been completed. Matan Torah starts on Shavuos. 40 days later, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to come down with the Luchais, giving it to Klal Yisrael, and that completes Matan Torah. So Tammuz really is the Chodesh of Zman Matan Torah saying it didn't happen that way. And as a result of Shviras HaLuchais, Torah was forgotten. Shikchas HaTorah, says the Gemara in Erevin, Ilmolei Nishtabru HaLuchais Lei Nishtakcha Torah Yisrael. If not for the fact that the Luchais were broken, there would be no forgetting. No one ever would have forgotten. Oh, even one word, one letter of Torah. Zichru Torah Moshe Rosh HaTevah Tammuz. Korach's Milchama on Moshe Rabbeinu, which is what's happening here, and there are very sharp expressions in Chazal told to us about Korach. Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin says Korach Apikoros Hoya, that Korach was considered an Apikoros on his level, and that he denied Torah Moshe. He eventually denies Torah Min HaShemayim. He fights Malucha, he fights Malchus. That's eventually what takes place. But what exactly is causing this? What exactly is happening over here? The Arizal brought down in Megala Amukos and in Yalkut Reuveni and others for him. The Arizal said that Korach was a nitzutz of Kayin. By Kayin we find that Kayin was jealous of Hevel. Hevel had a triplet, Kayin had a twin. Cain was jealous that Hevel was born with two sisters and he only had one sister, and that started the jealousy and the hatred. Cain was jealous that Hevel's carbon was accepted and his was not. Vayokom Cain el Hevel ochi vayahargehu, and that's the first murder in history which started because of jealousy. But there was a chait, there was jealousy before that. There was jealousy by the chait of the Nachash, and there was jealousy even before that. There was the chait of Eitz Hadas began with the Nachash, the jealousy of the Nachash to Adam. The Nachash was jealous that Adam had Chava. He saw Adam and Chava together and he wanted Chava for himself. There was Kina over there, which is, the Gemara says, Ba Nachash al Chava vehitil ba zuhamas, which Chazal referred to, that's the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kufnun Vav, Ba Nachash al Chava vehitil bazuhama. The Nachash had relations with Chava, and he instilled in her impurity, zuhama, which we suffer till today from that zuhama, known as zuhamas hanachash, the impurity of the Nachash, the impurity of the snake. And that began with jealousy. But even before that, there was jealousy. The sun and the moon. Originally, the sun and the moon were the same size. Shnei ha-ma'oreis ha-gedoilim. Then the pasuk says, "Es ha-ma'or ha-gadoil le-memsheles ha-yoyim v'es ha-ma'or ha-kotoin le-memsheles ha-layla." Tell us Chazal that the Yoreach v'Levana claimed that it's not possible for two kings to use the same crown. He was jealous, whatever that means exactly. Do we understand what it means that the moon was jealous of the sun? It wasn't the moon, it was the malach of the moon, the mazel of the moon. Whatever that means, but miyut hayoreach, the miniaturization of the moon, as all the Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Hasidus talk about, is the root of all ra in the world, as a result of miyut hayoreach. And that's called, the Lashon Chazal, we wouldn't be allowed to say it, kaviyochel Hashem's chait, which every Rosh Chodesh we lain, Useir izim echod lachatos lahashem, and Chazal asks, Hashem has to bring a seir izim echod lachatos. Hashem did a chait chas v'shalom. Says Chazal, and Rashi brings this in Parshas Pinchas, which will be laning this Shabbos after Kairach about Rosh Chodesh. Useir izim echod lachatos lahashem, says Rashi, haviu olai kapora shemi atiti es hayoreach. You have to bring a kapora for me because I diminished the size of the moon. Hashem says, "Haviu kapara olai." Well, Kute Halachas from Reb Nosson, he's the Talmud of Reb Nachman Breslov. So he writes Ba'arichas beautifully what Rosh Chodesh is all about, and he discusses how every Rosh Chodesh, as we say in davening, "Zman kapara lechol toil doisam." Rosh Chodeshim la'amcha nasata zman kapara l'chol tol doisam. That's the root of tshuva. Every Rosh Chodesh is a time for tshuva because Hashem is doing tshuva. Kaviyachol, whatever that means. Hashem says haviu kapara olai, bring a kapara for me, and that enables everyone else also to have a kapara. The fact that Hashem needs a kapara, again, whatever that's supposed to mean, but we're repeating what Chazal tell us, that's the source, that's the root for tshuva. The possibility to do tshuva, the ability to do tshuva is because Hashem says, Haviyu kapara olai. And every Rosh Chodesh, when the moon it becomes visible, which is called the Moilad HaLevana, that's the tikkun for the Miyat HaYoreach. That's the, as we say in Kiddush Levana, Lemalois Pegimas HaLevana. And we mentioned the pasuk, that in the future, the moon will once again be the same size as the sun, as the Pasuk says in Navi. So, the jealousy that exists in this world began with Miyat HaYoreach. It continued with the Zuhamas HaNochash. Later on with the Chait of Kayin and Hevel, which was clearly an act of jealousy. And then, with the story of Yosef and the brothers. Vayekanu boy Echov. The brothers were jealous of Yosef HaTzadik. And that causes later all the sinas chinam and all the machlaikas, including the machlaikas between Malchei Yehuda and Malchei Yisrael. Nechlek Malchus Beis David was in the same place as the Mechira takes place. Down till this very day, which is the root cause of the Golus, why there was a Churban, because of sinas chinam. Kairach, which is very interesting, that Kairach believed, and Korach didn't even realize what was driving him to do this. Korach believed that the world of Tikkun has already arrived. It's already Yemais HaMashiach. So says Reb Tzadik, the Pritzadik, and all the Chassidish Sfarim that speak about this, they talk about the fact that Korach saw the future. We see in Chazal also, Korach saw Shmuel HaNavi coming out of him. He's looking into the future. He's not now, he's not here, he's not in the present, he's in the future. So Kairach sees the future world, the world of La'osid Lavoi, where the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, the Lo Yilamedu Oid Ish Esre'ehu, Ki Kulam Yedu Oisi. The future is a world where people will not have to learn from one another, there will be no Rav Talmud, there will be no Rebbe student relationship, everyone will know La'da'as Es Hashem, Umola Ha'oretz Deya Es Hashem. Everyone is the same in the future. As the Gemara says at the end of Tainus, Hashem is going to make a circle, and Kaviyachol will be in the middle, and everyone will point, as we know anything about a circle, that every point on a circle is equidistant from the center. That's the uniqueness of a circle. So the tzaddikim will be on that circle, and everyone will see Hashem sort of on the same level. It's a mochel, it's a circle. Zeh Hashem kivinu lo, you know, gidav v'nismacha b'yishuasai. Koirach felt that we're there already. Why did Koirach think that we're there already? There are two chatoyim which prevent us from getting there. And those two chatoyim are really the chet ha-egel, which culminates with the chet ha-meraglim, and the chet of mechiras Yosef, which really have not yet been rectified till today. Koirach thought that it's already been rectified. Where do we see that the chet ha-egel and the chet of mechiras Yosef are connected? This parasha also has in it, at the end, the 24 matanos of kahuna. Chav dalad matanos kahuna are all in parashas Koirach. One of the matanos kahuna in parashas Koirach is the five coins that one has to redeem his firstborn with. Pidyon haben. The pasuk says, all firstborn animals that are kosher and all firstborn humans, Jewish, are to be redeemed, because they belong to the Kohanim. Ufiduyav mi ben chaydesh tifta. A boy at the age of a month is to be redeemed. The sanctity of the firstborn, which every firstborn has a kedusha, because of makas b'chayrois, because Hashem redeemed us when he took us out of Mitzrayim, that kedusha has to be redeemed, and five coins are given to the Kohanim. A lot is said on that, a lot is discussed on that. Why is it that a Bechor has to redeem his Kedusha? And if that's the case, why doesn't a Kohen have to redeem his Kedusha? A Kohen also has Kedusha. Kohanim were in the Skadesh, Leviim were in the Skadesh. We don't find that Kohanim and Leviim have to exchange the Kedusha that they have on any coins. Dafka firstborns have to have their Kedusha redeemed. And this is first discussed in Parshas Bo'i, and then later on in Parshas Mishpatim, and then later on in Parshas Kisisa, and a little bit in Bamidbar. But the source for Pidyon HaBen is Parshas Koirach. The Rambam in Hilchas Bikurim, in the 11th chapter, the Rambam begins Hilchas Bikurim, that it's a mitzvah to redeem every firstborn. He quotes the Pasuk in our parasha here in Koirach, Ach Padoi Sifta Eis Bechor HaOdom. Ach Padoi Sifta Eis Bechor HaOdom. And how much? Five coins. One may say, well, Pidyon HaBen belongs in this parasha because it's one of the Chav Dalad Matanos of Kahuna. This is the parasha that discusses the Chav Dalad Matanos of Kahuna. But it's interesting that the Torah mentions it before already. The Torah talks to us before in the previous parashas about the fact that firstborns are holy, Kadosh Likol Bechor. We say it every day when we put on our tefillin, the parasha of Kadosh Likol Bechor, Lihu. B'chol b'chor odna b'vonecho tifta. But the Torah never says exactly how many coins to redeem a firstborn with. Although it does say it in Bamidbar, there it's talking about the exchange of firstborns to Leviim, when the Leviim were first, when they were counted. That's not exactly Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen is here, and this is the source. As Rashi says a few times in the Chumash, in Parshas Koirach, you'll find out how much you have to redeem a firstborn with. So Pidyon HaBen is here. And Pidyon HaBen, literally, and Rashi brings this in the Chumash as well, is because the firstborns blew it by the Egel. They were supposed to be those who serve in the Beis HaMikdash. They were supposed to be those who serve in the Mishkan. Bechaira is a very unique title. And not everyone deserves it. Even those who are born first don't necessarily get the title Bechaira. This we see throughout Chumash. Esav loses the Bechaira, although he was born first. The Shvatim and Yosef. Yosef was not the firstborn. Reuven is the firstborn of Yaakov. Yosef is the firstborn of his mother. He's the Peter Rechem, but he's not the firstborn of Yaakov Avinu. But yet, as it says in Divrei Hayomim, the Bechorah was taken away from Reuven because of the chet of Bilhah, Pachas Kamayim, and it was given to Yosef. So Yosef has the status of Bechor, Bechor Shoyrei Hodorloi. It's not necessarily genetics. It goes by who deserves it. Klal Yisrael, we are referred to as Hashem's firstborn, B'ni B'chayri Yisrael, but we didn't get here first. The Goyim were here before us. The nations rule before Am Yisrael, and as we see, Esav is before Yaakov, but yet we have the title B'ni B'chayri Yisrael, and no one else. So because the Bechorim worshipped the Egel, together with almost everyone, almost every member of Klal Yisrael, they lost the right, the privilege to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And that privilege was given to the Kohanim, to the Leviim, specifically to the Kohanim. But that's not it. The Yerushalmi in Shkolim, and the Medrash brings it down in a few places as well, tells us that the reason why everyone has to redeem their firstborn child is because we sold Yosef HaTzadik, who was the Bechor of Rachel, which answers the question that many Mepharshim ask, why is Pidyon HaBen Peter Rechem? Bechor is usually the Bechor of the father. You don't go by the mother. When it comes to inheritance, you go by the father. You don't follow the mother. Yet by Pidyon HaBen, we follow the mother, Peter Rechem. Because there's another reason why we redeem our firstborn children. Not only because Hashem saved the firstborns in Mitzrayim, and it's not only because we are exchanging the Kedusha of the Bechor, we are giving the Kohanim, on the coins which are given to the Kohanim, because the Bechorim lost their privilege because of the Chet HaEgel, there's something else going on here, and that is the Bechira of Yosef. The fact that the Shvatim sold Yosef HaTzadik, who was the Bechor of Rachel, and the deal was, they made Esrim Kosef, they sold him for 20 silver coins, which is equal to Chameshas Shkolim. Esrim Siloim is Chameshas Shkolim, so therefore every Jew has to redeem his firstborn. It's sort of like a punishment. It's a punishment because of the chait of Mechiras Yosef. So Pidyon HaBen has to do with Mechiras Yosef. And the fact that every firstborn has to be redeemed is a proof that the Mechiras Yosef has not yet been rectified. It would seem that La'asud Lavoi, there'll be no need for Pidyon HaBen, especially that Chazal tells us, that Sifri brings it in Baal Yischa, that the Bechor will be reinstated, it'll be restored. And in the future, the firstborns will once again serve in the Beis HaMikdash. They will retain that sanctity. It won't have to be redeemed. And especially then, when the Chet of Mechiras Yosef will be forgiven. This could explain why Pidyon HaBen is here in this parasha. Korach thought that the Chet HaEgel and the Chet of Mechiras Yosef were forgiven. And the connection between the two is, the Megala Amukis tells us that the Shvatim saw Beruach HaKodesh. This is again, while they're fighting Yosef HaTzadik, it just tells us, this itself tells us that these were very, very holy people. And this was not just some petty sibling rivalry of, they were talking about lofty, L'mayla mehasag aseinu. It's beyond our capacity of comprehension to understand the brothers in Yosef, why they would sell their brother, why they would even agree to kill their brother. They definitely felt that he was a rodev, that he was chayiv misa. They judged him, Bayiru Oisei Meirachoik, they saw him from afar, as some say means they didn't look at him up close, they didn't see who he really was, or as the Megala Amuka says, they looked into the future. And they saw Yeravam ben Nevat coming out of Yosef HaTzadik. Yeravam ben Nevat is a descendant of Ephraim. They also saw Yehu ben Nimshi coming out of Menashe. And those two were idol worshippers, were Chaitim Umachti Yisarabim. Yeravam ben Nevat specifically, the Mishnah says, was the Chote Umachti Yisarabim. And they felt that if we get rid of Yosef now, it'll spare Klal Yisrael a lot of troubles and headaches later on. That's what the Megala Amukas quotes from the early Mekubalim, the Kadmainim, that they saw Yeravam ben Nevat. Fine. This is all fine until Chet HaEgel. When it comes to Chet HaEgel, not only are they sinning here with the Egel, but retroactively, the fact that they sold Yosef, even though it wasn't that generation, it was their forebears before them, it was the Shvatim, but the Shvatim sold Yosef because they saw coming out of Yosef someone who's going to make an Egel. Yeravam ben Nevat built an eagle in the north of Eretz Yisrael, in the south of Eretz Yisrael, and as a result, he deserves to die, he deserves to be sold, so we shouldn't hear from him anymore. But when they made the eagle themselves in the Midbar, so the chet of Mechiras Yosef was awakened, was nisorer, the kitrug of the chet of Mechiras Yosef, because all the malachim and shamayim are saying to Hashem, that excuse of wanting to sell Yosef will kill him because of who's going to come out of him, well, they all did the same thing, they all sinned. What right did they have then to sell Yosef because of what's going to happen later when they're all doing the same thing? And that's what the Megala Amuka says in other Sfarim, that at the time when the Egel was made, at the same time, the Chet of Mechiras Yosef was brought up, these two together. That's why the Egel was in the shape of an axe. They didn't actually have that. They threw the gold into the fire. And then out came an Egel, out came the image of a baby axe. Why is it an axe? As it says in Tehillim, Kesavnis Shor Ochel Esev. Yosef is compared to an axe. In fact, it was the metal plate, the gold plate that Micha took from Moshe Rabbeinu that Moshe used to take Yosef's coffin out of the Nile River, Aleh Shor, was written on that golden plate. That was the plate that Micha put into the fire or held it near the fire, and then out came the Egel in the image of an axe. Tavnis Shor Oichel Esav. This was a reminder. Remember back then what you did to Yosef HaTzadik? You're all guilty. You have no right. Look, you're doing the same thing that you accused him. You said that your Avin Ben Avot's going to come out of Yosef, and look at all of you. This explains, even Al Pi Pshat, why it says when they built the Mishkan, every day the Nesiim brought a goat for a sin offering. Se'ir Izim Echad Lechatas. Every single day of the first 12 days of Nisan, when the Mishkan was put up for the first time, says Rashi and Chumash, Pshutai Shal Mikra. What was the goat for a sin offering for? Lechaper Al Chait Mechiras Yosef. What does Mechiras Yosef have to do with the Mishkan? The Mishkan we know was a kapara for the Chet HaEgel, that's clear. Eile Pekudei HaEdus, Mishkan HaEdus, Edus Sheviter Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Maiseh HaEgel. Aaron was told to take an eagle and sacrifice it on the Yom HaShmini LaMiluim, Kach Lecha Egel, Lechaper Al HaEgel. There's no question that the Mishkan was kapara for the Egel. They brought gold, donated gold for the Mishkan as a rectification for the donating of the gold for the Egel. What does Mechiras Yosef have to do with this? Not only that, the Safra in Parshas Shmini, on the pasuk Kechu Seir Izim Lechatos VeEgel VeCheves LaOyla, there it says again Kechu Seir Izim Lechatos LeChaper Al Maisa Mechiras Yosef on the Yom Hashmini LaMiluim. Based on what we just said, it's understood because the Chet HaEgel and the Chet HaMechiras Yosef go hand in hand. The only excuse they had to sell him or to want to kill him is because they saw who was going to come out of him. They were worried about the eagle in the future. They themselves are now guilty. They all made an eagle, except for one Shevet, and that's Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi had nothing to do with the Chet HaEgel. We know that. Vayeosfu Elav Kol B'nei Levi. But they were very guilty in the time of the Mechira. Shimon and Levi were the main culprits. Shimon was the one who says to Levi, "Vayomer Ish Alochiv Hinei Baal Hachaloymois Halozeh Bo." The Megala Amuka says, "Hinei Baal." They saw Baal. They saw the Avodah Zarah of Baal in the future, which was going to be built by Yeravim ben Nevat. So Shimon and Levi were the main ones here that wanted to get rid of Yosef. L'shem Shemayim, because they saw what's going to come out of him. So the question is, why do Kohanim who come from Levi deserve to get the Pidyon Habein? They deserve to get the 5 coins. The Chameshes Shkolim we give to Levi, to a Kohen who comes from Levi, when Levi was the most involved in the selling of Yosef, especially according to the Yerushalmi, that the reason why we have to redeem our firstborn sons is because of what was done to Yosef at Tzadik, and the Kohanim get it. They come from Levi, they were one of the most responsible in the selling of Yosef HaTzadik, and the answer is based on what we just said. When it came to the Chet HaEgel, Levi was exonerated from a Chet of Mechiras Yosef as well. Because Levi did not participate one iota in the Chet HaEgel, then their participation in the Chet of Mechiras Yosef was justified. They're the only ones who could say that when Levi saw out of Yeravim ben Nevat coming out of Yosef, and later by the Chet HaEgel, he did not participate. He's the only one who had a right, because he was the one that did not participate at all. Kishomrim Rasechu V'rischa Yinsoiru. Koirach is a Levi. Koirach is from Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi did not participate in the Chet HaEgel at all. There's one other Shevet and there's another Shevet who didn't participate in the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. And that's Reuven. Meshech Chachma asks, why do Bnei Reuven have to redeem their firstborn sons? Reuven had nothing to do with the Chet of Egel. Binyamin either not. Meshech Chachma asks that question. So that's why you have to come on to the other reason of Pidyon HaBen, and that's because of they lost their right, their privilege to serve because of the Chet of Egel. So it's intertwined, Egel and Mechiras Yosef. But Reuven certainly had nothing to do with it. Reuven is the one who says, Vayishma Reuven Vayatzilehu Miyodam. Reuven is the one who says, let's not kill him. Don't Al tishpuchu dam, and what was his intention? Laman hatziloi soy miyadam, as the pasuk says, lahashiva yalaviv. And then later, when he returns after he went home to serve his father, and he sees that Yosef's not in the pit, hayela deinero vani on aliba, he's all mevulbal. Reuven's chait is not mechiras Yosef. Reuven says, "I am the bechor. I'm going to be blamed." That's why Reuven understood the privilege of being a Bechor. He understood what it meant to be a Bechor. He said, I'm going to have to take the blame, and therefore I have to stop this. Reuven's chait is not there. Reuven's chait is the pachas kamayim, the act of impulsiveness with the maisa of the Yitzuei Bilha. And of course, by the Chet HaEgel. Reuven definitely participated. Shevet Reuven definitely participated in the Chet HaEgel. But Mechiras Yosef, certainly we could say that Reuven did not have anything to do. But there's another thing here. The chait of Mechiras Yosef was jealousy. Vayikanu boy echov. Yosef has something which they felt that they deserve, that Yosef does not deserve. Yosef doesn't deserve the ksonas pasim. Yosef is not the bechor in their minds. They don't understand why Yaakov is giving it to him. There's kinna. There's definitely jealousy. The Torah says, vayikanu boy echov. Reuven has no jealousy at all. Reuven clearly is not mekane. And Rashi brings this down from Chazal at the beginning of, in Vayetze, he was called Reuven, tell us Chazal, besides the reason of Ra Hashem Ba'anyi, because Leah said, Reuma Bein Beni Leben Chami. Look at the difference between my oldest and my son, my father-in-law's oldest, which is Esav. Look at the contrast between Yosef and Esav. Esav sold the Bechorah to Yaakov, and later he contests it, and he wants it back, and he's trying to prevent Yaakov from being buried in the Maris HaMachpelah, on, and hates us until this very day because of that. Reuven, on the other hand, didn't give it away, yet when it was, it was taken away from him, not only he does not try to kill or try to sell Yosef, but he's the one who tries to get him out of the pit. So clearly, jealousy is not one of Reuven's blemishes. It's not kinna. Kinna is not driving. Reuven is lamayla from kinna. What Korach doesn't realize, though, is that Korach did have kinna. And Chazal tell us, and Rashi brings it here, what was behind all of this? Niskane, he was jealous that Moshe Rabbeinu appointed Elitzofan ben Uziel to be the Nasi over the Bnei Kohos. It's Tzvila Tzadik in his Sefer, says it's Merumas, Umadua Tisnasu al Kahal Hashem. He says, Al Kahal Hashem is Begamatria Elitzofan. Madua Tisnasu, why is Madua Tais Nasu? He says, Tisnasu is Tais Nasu, giving leadership. Why are you giving leadership? Al Kahal Hashem to Elitzofan, Al Kahal Hashem Begamatria Elitzofan. So it was the appointment of Elitzofan that really was behind all of this. And very, very possibly and probably that Korach didn't even know that. Because a lot of times we are driven to do things, we don't even know what it really is. Some people have to go to a psychologist for a few years to find out why they're doing something, then later they find that after 20 years, why they did something. Something in the recesses of the mind. Chazal tell us that's what this was. It was kinna. Korach thought that the world has already reached the madrega, that there is no kinna anymore. As it says, La'asid lavoi, v'sara kinas Ephraim. Ephraim lo yikane es Yehuda. V'Yehuda lo yikane es Ephraim. There'll be no jealousy in the future. As the Rambam ends off Hilchas Malachim, that at that time there will be no kinna, no sinna, no tacharas. He mentioned specifically jealousy. There'll be no more jealousy. Meaning what Korach says, ki chol ha'eda kulam kedoshim mivisoicham Hashem, that all of Klal Yisrael are holy. And Hashem is among them. And he says, the raya is, the Mishkan was built and the Shechina came down. He says, that's proof. Hashem has returned to us. All our chatoim have been atoned for, including Chet HaEgel, especially he says that we didn't do it. He said we had nothing to do with the Chet HaEgel. Shevet Levi had no participation at all in the Chet HaEgel. That's why Korach, as we see in the Pesukim and Chazal elaborate, was upset that the Levim and the Kohanim were separated one from the other. He said Shevet Levi should all be one and the same. If Chet HaEgel is still here, he says, and the firstborns don't get to serve yet, so then there should be no difference between Kohanim and Levim, because the entire Shevet Levi is free from the Chet HaEgel. Why is there Kohanim and Levim, which bothers him very much? And later at the end of the parasha, we see the Torah repeats, and the Torah talks to us about the distinction between Kohanim and Levim. Levim have to give Maaser to Kohanim, Trumas Maaser, that there is a separation between Kohanim and Levim, which Korach doesn't understand, because if Chet HaEgel was forgiven, certainly it makes no sense. And even if not, the entire Shevet Levi is free from Chet HaEgel. There should be no difference between a Kohen and a Levi. And that's how it's going to be in the future, says, as the Arizal says, V'ha-Kohanim al-Levi'im, that the Levi'im will have the same status as Kohanim la'osud lovay. What Kairach wants, which is why the parasha is named after him, and he asks, how could you name a parasha after a Rasha? What Kairach wants is a lofty thing. Everyone should want to be a Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want it too. Afani writes the Bekach. To want it is one thing. To do something about it is another. It's the Vayikach Kairach. That's the problem. What Kairach wants, that every Jew should be a Kohen Gadol, that's the way it ought to be, that's the way it was supposed to be. Va'atem tihi yulim amlechas kaihanim. In the future it'll be that way, but not yet. The world of the future, which is in Sefer Daniel, Daniel is the one who talks about the Zmanim of Bias HaMashiach. In fact, Daniel tells us exactly when Mashiach is going to come, just no one knows what he's talking about. He himself didn't know what he was saying. As the Gemara says in Megillah, he himself didn't realize. But in Daniel it says clearly, and all the tzaddikim and all the generations have tried to figure it out, so far no one figured it out, when exactly that time is. But Daniel is the one who knows the Keitz HaGeula. The Keitz HaGeula is in Daniel. And Kairach thought that it's already that time. Kairach thought that the world of the future is already here. We know that when we say Amen, Amen is equal to 91. Aleph Mem Nun. You're supposed to have in mind, it says in Halacha, Amen is a combination of two of Hashem's names. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That's 26 plus 65 is equal to Amen. However, it tells us the Avodas Yisrael, the Kozhnitz HaMagid, based again on the words of the Arizal, that La'osid Lovay, Hashem's name will no longer be Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, it'll be Yud-Kei Yud-Kei. Bayoim Hahu Yihiyeh Hashem Echol. Hashem will be Yihiyeh. And meaning then that the combination of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei with Aleph Dalet Nun Yud will be four more. Now it's 91, then it'll be 95. And he tells us, that's what, when we vinch on a young couple, when they get married, when they get engaged, we say the zivug should be oile yofe. The young couple should have a very good life together. The zivug should be oile yofe. So he says the zivug means the combination of Hashem's two names, should be equal to yofe. Yofe is equal to 95, yud pei hei. That's how many psukim parshas Kairach has, 95 psukim, because this parsha, what Kairach wants will happen in the world of Yofa, in the world of Yefei Noif Misois Kol Ha'oretz. Yerushalayim is referred to as Yefei Noif Misois Kol Ha'oretz. Mashiach is called Yof Yofisam Yibnei Adam in Kapitel Mem Hayef Tehillim. That's the world of beauty. The world of Yofi is in the future. Rashi says, Parsha Zu Yofa Nidroshes B'merish Rebbe Tanchuma. Do you know when this parsha will be understood? Do you know when we'll understand what Kairach wanted in the world of Yofa, in the world where Hashem's two names are equal to 95? B'medrash Rabbi Tanchuma, in the world of Tanchuman, when Mashiach, the Menachem, comes, and as Menachem Klal Yisrael, B'medrash Rabbi Tanchuma, will understand Parshas Kairach, will understand the concept of Kichol Ha'eda Kulam Kedoshim B'Vesoicham Hashem. And at that time, all the firstborns will be reinstated. Reuven will be the firstborn again, as Yaakov tells him, Reuven b'chayri ata. Now what was given to Yosef HaTzadik, in the future you will get the b'chayra back. Kairach takes Reuven with him. He says, Reuven displays no jealousy. He had nothing to do with the chet of Mechiris Yosef. And I, a member of Shevet Levi, had nothing to do with the chet ha'egel. So between the two of us, for sure, we should be able to bring about the Olam HaTikun. And the fact that the Mishkan was built, the fact that the Shechina returns, v'saychem Hashem, that shows us that Hashem is with us. We've misaken chet ha'ego, which means we misaken the chet of Mechiras Yosef as well. They go together. Dafka in this parasha is pidyon haben. Dafka here, the Torah talks to us about the pidyon haben, that it's still necessary to redeem the firstborn with kesef chameshas shkolim, because the tikkun hasn't happened yet. It is not yet the time of Sisora Kinas Ephraim. The Haraya, Kairach was motivated by Kina. Kairach, who wants to bring to the Olam HaTikun, he himself doesn't realize that what's really motivating is not La'asid Lovay, what's really motivating him here is the Kina, the jealousy of the fact that Elitzofen Ben Uziel was appointed and not him. Masha'en Kein Aroin HaKoyen. Aroin HaKoyen is the example of one who is free from jealousy. Not because he was born that way, because he worked on himself. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu went to see him, So the pasuk says, "Hine," Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, who didn't want to take away the leadership from Aaron. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Hine yoytzei likrosecha v'somach belibo." You should know that Aaron's going to come and greet you, and he's going to be smiling. But don't think it's a fake smile. Many people smile, but inside they're very angry. Not necessarily is a smile always a sign of what's really going on inside. It says the pasuk v'somach belibo inside. And that's why he wears the chayshan on his chest with the names of all the shvatim. Because he tolerates everyone. He's the oyev shalom, v'roydev shalom. He has no kinah whatsoever. It didn't bother him one bit that his younger brother, just like over here, Korach with Elitzof and Ben Uziel, who was younger than him, it didn't bother Aaron that his younger brother takes over the leadership and not him. And that's why it's really very nice how we see here in the parasha when Hashem tells Aaron, v'ani hinei nosati lecho es mishmeres trumoisoi. You're going to keep with the kahuna, is going to stay with you for now. And Rashi says, Besimcha, Hine is a lashon simcha, and he quotes the pasuk, Hine hu yoytzei likrosecha v'roacha v'somach belibay. That very pasuk that tells us that Aaron has no jealousy. Aaron was free, was a naki from kina. Aaron therefore deserves the kahuna now, Korach does not. If Korach was not motivated by kina, then Korach would have deserved it too. La'asid lavai, it says, he will be the Kohen Gadol. So says the Arizal. Tzadik katomar yifrach is soifet tevis kairach. Tzadik is a kuf, katomar is a resh, yifrach is a ches. That's what the Arizal says. That la'asid lavai, kairach will be the Kohen Gadol. But kairach was a nitzutz of Kayin. By Kayin it says, the earth opened up and swallowed the blood of Hevel. The same expression as it says in our parish. In fact, the only time that it ever uses this expression in Chumash, Ufotzesoha Adoma Espiha, is by Kayin, and then later here in this parish by Korach. The earth opens up to swallow the blood of Hevel, so the earth is cursed. V'ato oror otomin ho Adoma asher potzeso espiha. Here too, v'atiftach ho oretz espiha, which is the same letters as Yofeh. But Yofeh turns to Piha. It could have been Yofeh's in the future, but unfortunately, because this was not the time, the world is not yet ready for the future. When Kichol Ha'eda Kulam Kedoshim, it ends up turning around and becoming Vatiftach Ha'aretz Es Piha. Korach wants to exalt himself over everyone else. Maduat Hisnasu Kisis Historer Oleinu Gam Historer. Very similar to what the Shvatim say to Yosef Atzadik, Hamoloich Timloich Banu Emoshal Timshal Banu. The kina led them to believe that Yosef wants to rule over them, especially as was indicated in his dreams. And here too, Korach says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Madu atis nasu sistorer oleinu gam historer," which is also because of the kina that Korach had, and the same expression that we find by Kayin and Hevel. It's interesting too that the pasuk says that Kayin's carbon was not accepted. V'el Kayin v'el minchasoi loy sho'a. And here too, Al Teifen El Minchasam, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, do not accept their mincha, which the Torah uses the same lashon, mincha by Kayin as well. And perhaps this is the reason why on Rosh Chodesh, which Rosh Chodesh is the tikkun for the jealousy of the moon, which is what really started it all, when the moon said, Yefshel L'shnei Melachim She'ishtamshu B'Keser Echad. Dafka on Rosh Chodesh is when Korach and his entourage cry out, Moshe emes v'soyrosoy emes v'onu badoyim. Because Rosh Chodesh is the tikkun for the miyat halavana. Rosh Chodesh is the moilat halavana. Every Rosh Chodesh is a zman of geula. Every Rosh Chodesh is a zman of tikkun, a zman of gilui, of revelation. Tammuz fell, just like Korach did. Tammuz is under the ground, like Korach is under the ground. And this all starts from the Zuhamas Hanochash. Zuhamas is Oisius Hatamuz. The Hanoshim of Akos has Hatamuz. Yerushalayim, which was broken into in the month of Tammuz, Yerushalayim is the city of Achdus. Ki'ir Shechubra lo Yachdov, we say about Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, there's no room for jealousy. In Yerushalayim, there's no kinna. And therefore, in Tammuz, the month of Reuven, Tammuz is the month of Reuven, as the Arizal says. And Reuven was naki from jealousy. Reuven can definitely claim that he deserves to be the Bechor. They had no part in the chet of Mechiras Yosef at all. Reuven's chet is the Pachaz. And the chatoim that take place in Tamas were also pachas, were also acts of impulsiveness. The cheta egel, they didn't want to wait. They didn't have the patience to wait one more day. So Tamas fell, just like Koirach fell. Tamuz really is a month of La'osid Lavoi. Tamuz is the month of Reuven. Reuven was called Reuven Miloshen Re'iya. Ki Ra'a Hashem Ba'onyi. La'osid Lavoi, it says that we will be zeichet to learn Torah b'fchinas Re'iya. Now it's only Shmiya. Toshma. The Gemara always says, Toshma, come and listen. Koirach thought that we were already holding in the future. It's a time to see. It's a time for us to be zeichet to the Torah of Re'iya, the Torah of Mashiach, which is greater than the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Chazal say that the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah of now, is Hevel, compared to Yemos HaMashiach. Why did Chazal use the word Hevel? Because Moshe was the Gilgal of Hevel. Moshe was the Gilgal of Hevel. Koirach was a nitzitz of Kayin. And in many ways, Kayin was greater than Hevel, but because Kayin was greater than Hevel, that's why he falls. Just like it says, Esav, the Sfarim bring down, had more potential than Yaakov. And had Esav did what was right, he would have been greater than Yaakov, and great tzaddikim came out of Esav. Kayin, as the Sfarim say, was the Bechina of Beis Shammai. Hevel is Beis Hillel. Moshe is the Bechina of Hillel. The Asid Lovay, the Halacha will be like Shammai. The Halacha will be like those who follow the Tzad Hadin. Koirach wanted that the world should already be like La'asid Lovay, when it'll be Noyheg al Pi Din, like the way it was supposed to be at the beginning. Bereishis b'machshava ola b'machshava libreis ha'sa'olam b'midas ha'din. Soif ma'isa b'machshava techila. At the end, it'll be that way. At the end, when Mashiach will come, the world will be misnahig al Pi Din. Now it's chesed, now it's Torah's chesed, because we couldn't survive al Pi Din, so we don't follow Beis Shammai, we follow Beis Hillel, who was more Mekel, not more Machmir, but La'asad Lovay, the halacha will be like Shammai, which is the Bechina of Kayin in Kedusha, Gevura, Eish. What is Kina? Kina comes from anger, from Eish, but it's the Eish on the other side, it's the wrong usage of the Gevura. Masha Enkein, in Kedusha, there's also a concept of Kina. We find by Pinchas, Bekanoi es Kinosi. We find by Hashem, the Kinesi, Hashem, Hashem is going to take revenge. Hashem is, the only thing that says that gets Hashem jealous, Kaviyachal, is Avodah Zarah, which the Chet HaEgel brought about the Kina of Hashem, which he's referred to as Kael Kana. So in Chodesh Tamuz, which is the Chodesh of Reuven, who had the red stone on the Chosha, and the ruby, that's Reuven, the Odem on the Chosha, and the color red is the color that is associated with Midas Hadin. The way it'll be the Asid Lavoi, Midas Hadin, Halacha Kebei Shammai. But now we cannot go that way. Now the color red is associated with evil. Now the color red is Ma'adim, the color red is Dam, the color red is the color even today we see associated with the different powers in the world that use the color red as their symbol, which are not from the Tzad HaKedusha. The Medrash says that Koirach saw Para Aduma, and from there he fought against Moshe Rabbeinu. He thought Para Aduma, as we'll see next week, was the tikkun for the Chet HaEgel. And it's the color red. Koirach sees the color red as being a color for tikkun. That means that La'asid Lavoi, the Midas Hadin, will rule the world. Koirach felt that we're there already. And that was Koirach's mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, Boiker v'yoida Hashem. In the morning, Hashem will let us know. And it was in the morning, in the future, in the future time. Boiker v'yoida Hashem is b'gematria Mashiach ben David. When Mashiach will come, then you'll be right. But it's not Boiker yet. In fact, as it says in Mishlei, a person who's jealous, Urekav atzomois kina. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Kufnun Beis, a person who's jealous, his bones will rot. Misha yeshboi kina atzmoisov markivin. And it's based on the pasuk, Urekav atzomois kina. Rekav, rokov means decomposition, rotting, spoilage. Kina brings about decomposition. Kina brings about spoilage. Kina brings about decay. The word boiker is the same letters as rokov. Now it's Rokov, in the future it'll be Boiker. Vayikach Koirach ben Yitzar ben Kahos. Ben Yitzar ben Kahos is begamatria urekav atzomois. Koirach thought that he was in the future. Koirach thought that what he wanted was the way it's supposed to be. But what he didn't realize is that what was motivating him was kina, was recovering. And of course that's what happens. He ends up being swallowed up under the ground. Kosha kisha'oil kina, the pasuk says in Shirat Shirim, concerning kina, kosha kisha'oil, that kina is so severe, it's like Gehenim itself. And that's exactly what Korach ends up in Sha'oil, in Gehenim, Chayim Sha'oil, as a result of his kina. But la'asid lavai, Korach will come out. Moirid Sha'oil va'yo'al, the pasuk says, in Shmuel Beis, in Shmuel Aleph Rabbi, Chana, the mother of Shmuel, who's the descendant of Korach, she says, Moirid Sha'oil va'yo'al, as we had recently in the Daf Yomi in Sanhedrin, that Adas Korach asidim la'alois, that they're going to come out of Gehenim. Moirid Sha'oil va'yo'al. Moirid Sha'oil va'yo'al is b'gematria dosan va'aviram. They too, says the Tiferes Shleimer. The Tiferes Shleimer says that dosan va'aviram will also come back in the future. Unlike the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, who says that there's no tikkun for them, the Tiferes Shleimer says there is. Moirid Sha'oil va'yo'al. Sha'oil va'yo'al is b'gematria Tammuz. Tammuz, which is now in Gehenim, like the gates of Yerushalayim that are under the ground, Tavu ba'oretz she'oreha, Tammuz, which has the same fate as Korach, just like Korach will come out of Sha'oil, and in the future, what Korach wanted will become reality, so too Chodesh Tammuz will be Nizgala as the Chodesh of Mashiach. Tammuz is b'gematria Melech HaMashiach. Tammuz is b'gematria Soymech Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim. Tammuz is also equal to Elohim Chashova L'toiva, which was said by Yosef HaTzadik to the brothers, that the whole Mechira, which you thought, Atem Chashavtem Olai Ro'o, Elohim Chashova L'toiva, it's really good. That's equal to Tammuz. Tammuz now looks bad. Tammuz is the month of the Tzoyim HaRavi'i. Tammuz is the month of in which Yerushalayim experiences a Churban. But the fact that this is the month in which Yerushalayim experiences a Churban means that the tikkun lies in Tammuz. In Tammuz we have to work on the midah of kina, eradicate the kina, hakina v'hataiva v'hakovid, moitzien esa adam in ha'olam. And we should talk a bizaychah to the ultimate pidyon habayin. The Gemara ends off Masechtas Pesachim, which is the Masechta that talks about Pesach and Geula, with the story of pidyon habayin. Hashem will redeem his firstborn son. Pidyon habayin is HaKadosh Baruch who keeps the mitzvahs just as much as we keep. Magid Devar of Yaakov, Chukah of Mishpat of Yisrael, says the Medrash, that Hashem keeps to the mitzvahs like we do. So just like we have to redeem our firstborn, Hashem has to redeem his firstborn. We, who are the B'nai B'chayri Yisrael, Hashem will redeem us from Golos, and take Tammuz out of Golus, and Korach out of Golus, and all of us out of Golus. We should all be zoicha to celebrate this Shiv'asa B'Tammuz feasting in the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. Good evening.